Welcome to Teaching Writing, Ideas and Strategies. My name is Roger Graves, and I'm Professor Emeritus from the University of Alberta and co-author with Heather Graves of The Concise Guide to Technical Communication from Broadview Press, our latest book. It was new in 2020. For links to the publisher's website and to more resources, visit our website, wecanwrite, all one word, .ca. Today's episode focuses on Chapter 7 of The Concise Guide to Technical Communication. This chapter is called Progress Reports, White Papers, and Recommendation Reports. It's one of the largest chapters in a small book, about 30 pages long, and it gives an overview for students of the status or progress report, which is a short report, an information report or white paper, a lab report, if you're working in the sciences, and a recommendation report. So we'll follow the chapter organization and get started with progress reports, or status reports as they're sometimes called. And they are, as the name would suggest, that a summary of the status of a project or a progress you've made on something. In a status report, you're really going to have four things. You're going to have a summary of what has been accomplished. You're going to have them supply information about any problems that they've encountered. You're going to describe the actions that were taken to resolve those problems. And give an outline of what's coming up, the work that's about to be done. I often give these in a context of an academic course to students as a way for them to talk about how they're doing on their larger project, and which accomplishes a whole bunch of things. But the main thing it does is it says, hey, this thing is coming up. We both acknowledge that. You need to be doing some work on it. What have you got done so far? In a business context or a professional context, you'll often give these kind of reports to various people for various things, but especially, for example, if you're working on a grant. Every year you're going to have to supply a progress report on the work of the grant. Progress reports really have two rhetorical considerations that writers need to keep in mind. The first is you need to describe the ongoing progress towards the project. So that's one of the points. How thoroughly can you do that? But the second thing you have to keep in mind if you're writing these things is, how are you demonstrating your competence and ability as an employee? So that's another kind of goal that people have when they write these things. In the book, we do have an exercise for students where they have to report on their progress towards their degree. And it's an interesting idea for an assignment because I think students often don't think hard enough or aren't totally aware of where they are and sometimes get lost in the middle years as they're progressing towards a degree. And so it's a kind of a way to sort of prompt them a little bit to think about that. And we know that metacognition is a really important part of learning. So it's a way to sort of prompt a kind of meta thinking about how they're doing in their last couple of years and where this is all going to. And it also might help you, if you're the instructor of a tech writing course, talk to them about how this course fits in with the degree that they're doing. The next set of genres that we're talking about in this chapter are called white papers or information reports. And there's really two kinds of these. The first kind is really a marketing tool that organizations put out. They have a new piece of software or something like that, and they want to tell you all about it, really to get you to try it out and, of course, to adopt it or to buy it. The second kind of white paper is more one that argues a position towards a topic or often a problem or something that has to be investigated. And so as a university administrator, I've worked on a bunch of those kinds of things where you would look at, say, should we adopt a piece of software for checking grammar on student papers? And so we would write a report based on that. So those are two different kinds of information or white reports. In the chapter, we talk about how do you format a white paper. The first is you get started with an abstract or an executive summary. You proceed to a problem statement, a couple of paragraphs on that. A description of the solution, so what is the technology or the thing that you're going to use to solve that problem. Then you need to have a discussion of how that product or service solves the problem. And then finally, some kind of conclusion. It's not that long. In the next chunk of the chapter, we talk about how do you make your white paper useful or effective. And there's a whole bunch of strategies. I don't want to go into every one of them here, but one of the key things is to assume that your reader is a newcomer to the subject. Because one of the huge problems that people have is they have to try to figure out which reader to write to, what level. Now, an advanced reader can always skip through things, but if their information isn't there for a newcomer, things like even things as basic as acronyms, which they don't understand, like artificial reality, AR, that kind of thing, or extended reality, XR. If you have no way of finding those things, then that becomes a problem. But you, as an advanced reader, you already know that, you can skip over that. And one final tip that we'll give about white papers that we do give in the book has to do with an expert's opinion. His name is Wade Nelson. And just like the first year students, when they're writing argumentative essays, they tend to give you ones which are only one-sided. And that's not helpful because it's not showing you two sides of the topic. It's not a very sophisticated treatment of whatever it is they're arguing about. Well, in a white paper, you can't just show all the positives. You have to also show what are the limitations to any particular solution. And so one of the things that you want to make sure students understand is that there probably isn't a perfect solution. There's a better solution. Here's why it's better. It still is lacking in some other areas. So you want to make sure that they feel that they can include that, and frankly, that they should include those limitations. The last part of the chapter talks about recommendation reports. Now, these are the kind of reports that we may often think about in a tech communication course. There are a large project that we might assign students and it would be due at the end of the term, that kind of thing. And the reason for that is that there's many parts to them. Something you might think about doing, and I've done this successfully in the past, is make sure that it at least gives students the option of working in groups to work on a project. And when I ask them for proposals for recommendation reports, if several people are proposing a similar topic or the same topic, I might ask them specifically if they want to work together on this. And a couple of reasons here. Obviously, it's a fewer reports for me to read. But mostly, if you've got a very long project, it's tough to get that done really well. I mean, many students are capable of that, but you want to sort of keep your demands of your course under control. And so one way is to say people work together on some of these things. One of the key requirements that employers have for students when they graduate is that they can work effectively with other people. And if they can show that they've done that in your course, that's a big plus for them. They don't always appreciate it, and we all admit that, but it is something that we all need to do more of. So we spend some time in the chapter at this point going over the parts of the report, the recommendation report. So it starts with a memo or letter of transmittal in which the student submits the report and talks about what's in it and what is in that letter of transmittal. What goes on the title page? Students often don't understand that. They need to provide an executive summary or an abstract. So what's in that summary or abstract? They need to then say what the recommendations are. Then they need to get into the main body of the report. And they need to use their own headings there. But there's going to be things like some kind of introduction, a literature review or research component, a statement of the purpose of the report, maybe even as short as a paragraph about the methods or how they went about it, the results and discussion. What did they study? How did they come up with? What does that mean? And then finally, the conclusions. A key thing to talk to students about is what goes in the report and what should go as an appendix to the report. References, those are going to go in the appendix. Any kind of a survey form that they had somebody fill out, that also would go in the appendix. So that's what we've covered in Chapter 7, Progress Reports, White Papers, and Recommendation Reports. My name is Roger Graves. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Graves. Please visit our website, wecanwrite.ca, for links to other podcast episodes that would help with Chapter 7 and reports, and any other materials to help you run your course. Thanks.